Hey there, if you're listening to this and you support us on Patreon, you can hear it via the Patreon page ad-free. You're listening to Sound Opinions, and this week we're taking one last look back at 2023. I'm Jim DeRogatis.
And I'm Greg Kot. I'll share my annual mixtape, and we'll mourn the musicians we lost last year. Plus, we'll share some of our favorite singles from 2023. Let's get to it.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Every year, we do our best to spotlight the musicians and music industry folks who died that we want to pay tribute to. However, we never get to everyone.
You know, that's right, Jim. I mean, first we want to recap who we discussed this year. It's quite a laundry list, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Since we always have people asking, why didn't you talk about this person? A lot of times we did. But we obviously couldn't get to them all. But here's what we did cover in our regular episodes of people who passed away in 2023. Jeff Beck, David Crosby, Tom Verlaine, Sinead O'Connor, Burt Bacharach, Wayne Shorter, Seymour Stein, Andy Rourke of the Smiths, Trugoy the Dove of De La Soul, Tina Turner, Gordon Lightfoot, Cynthia Weil, Robbie Robertson, and our late colleague, Mary Gaffney.
We also have the weekly bonus podcast episodes, Greg, and there we paid tribute to Rudolph Isley, John Kesdy of the Effigies, Steve Harwell of Smash Mouth, Jimmy Buffett, kind of, Sixto Rodriguez, Jane Birkin, Blackie Onassis of Verge Overkill, Astrid Gilberto, Frank Kozik, the great Seattle poster artist, Rita Lee of Os Mutantes, Keith Reed of Procol Harum, Glenn Spot Lockett, the famous house producer of SST Records, and Van Conner of the Screaming Trees.
Now we're going to spend a little bit more time highlighting some people we didn't get a chance to memorialize in 2023. Jim, you're up first.
Yeah, Greg, we got to pay tribute to Denny Lane, a founding member of the Moody Blues and a longtime member of Wings, who died at the age of 79 of lung disease. One of those fascinating kind of zealot characters rock and roll, you know? Native of Birmingham, England, grew up obsessed with the gypsy jazz of Django Reinhardt and Stéphane Grappelli, moved on to Spanish guitar, found himself starting the Moody Blues. He was the vocalist on the Moody's first big hit, Go Now, which was a cover, but then he split creative differences before their huge breakthrough with the orchestral pop of Days of Future Past in 1967. Was sitting around doing not much until he got a call one day who said, the fellow on the other end of the line said, "Hey, why don't you fly to Scotland and meet me here? We got to do something together." And that was, of course, Paul McCartney. So Paul and Linda and Denny Lane were the three founding members of Wings. McCartney, despite being Sir Paul, always considered Lane an equal member, and it was that trio, rounded out by other musicians through seven albums Lane played on, wrote Mull of Kintyre with McCartney, had claimed to be a co-writer on Band on the Run, the number one smash by Wings, although on the record it's only Paul and Linda. a couple of solo albums followed later in life, but hard to have an encore after Wings. Nevertheless, one of those British musicians who popped up in fascinating places and made a real contribution. So, you know, to pay tribute to Denny, we could play so much of his guitar work, but he was the lead vocal on the Moody Blues' first smash hit, Go Now, covering Bessie Banks. Here it is.
We've already said
Go Now by the Moody Blues, a couple of collections of the early days when they were sort of moving from skiffle band to Britpop band, and then, you know, pre-orchestral pop.
Right, that was a huge hit. You still hear it on the radio. And, you know, it was part of Wings' sets and those big tours in, the 70s. You know, Denny was out front singing that for them. I want to go next to Shane McGowan. We, you know, died late in the year. Man, you know, at age 65 on November 30th, not a huge shock. I mean, Shane was in bad shape for quite a long time, had major health issues, obviously, had a drinking issue. But man, that funeral was incredible. I mean, you get funerals like that for presidents and stuff. It's just like,
oh, I know.
The whole country was mourning Shane. He was such a beloved character.
Tremendous love.
What a figure. In music, but also just a gentlemanly dude, you know, just well loved. He was he would always be a friend to whoever he talked to at a bar or whatever. I'm conflicted about Shane, I'll be honest, and I know that you are too.
Yeah.
And you know, I saw the Pogues, between the Pogues and Shane's solo ventures in a band called the Popes. You know, I saw him like 5 or 6 times over the years, and the initial shows with the Pogues were pretty amazing. Undoubtedly an amazing songwriter as well as a visionary in the way he was able to bring traditional Irish folk songwriting and instrumentation and merge it with that punk snarl and attitude. He came out of the punk scene, but you know, saw a lot of fertile territory in the traditions that his heritage pointed him toward. And Streams of Whiskey, Boys from Country Hell, A Pair of Brown Eyes, A Rainy Night in Soho, you know, Guilt, Soon, Redemption, The Transience of Love, Despair, it's all there. I mean, that song, Fairy Tale of New York, I'd put that right up there with one of the greatest Christmas songs ever, you know, alongside like Darlene Love doing Christmas Baby, Please Come Home.
No, it's a classic.
Joni Mitchell's River, a duet with Kirsty MacColl that is still played to this day. And that you know, it's not just that cheery Christmas song. It's about two desperate people on Christmas, and it's not doesn't go well for everyone. The holidays aren't a great time for everybody.
It's like
right?
a novel, you know. And you know, the tragedy of his life is that so much talent, but that self-destructive streak, which too many people romanticized for too long.
Well, you know, my big issue was I remember the last time I went to see Shane. It was sad because, you know, as soon as he put that first drink to his lips, people cheered raucously like they were encouraging this. And he went through 2 bottles of wine that night. I go, I'm not sure I can see another show.
Yeah.
You know, the fact is the legacy was incredible. But at the same time, it's a sad one as well. You know, I think it's only appropriate to play a little bit of the Shane McGowan song that perhaps is he best remembered by, Fairy Tale of New York. It is the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
Fairy Tale of New York, I think, is the way to pay tribute to the late Shane McGowan.
I could have been someone.
Well, so could anyone. You took my dreams from me when I first found you.
I kept them with me, babe. I put them with my own. Can't make it all alone. I built my dreams around you.
The boys of the NYPD chorus are singing, go away, babe. And the bells are ringing out
for Christmas Day.
Shane McGowan of the Pogues, dead at the age of 65 on November 30th. You've got another one for us, right, Jim?
Greg, I'm going to talk about Scott Kempner next. Probably not a household name, but I would argue did much to forward not one, but two genres that live on today. He was a pioneer in both. Born and raised in the Bronx, Scott Kempner met these two other fellows, Andy Chernoff and Ross Friedman, and together they formed The Dictators. Happened during a visit to a friend in college, 1972. When The Dictators released their debut album, The Dictators Go Girl Crazy, it was a year before the Ramones. Many people point to that as one of the earliest punk rock records. And if you listen to their cover of California Sun, it's kind of all there. The Ramones obviously did more. The Dictators, you know, couldn't really get arrested during their early years of three albums on two different major labels. They didn't catch fire. I got to share the stage once with Kempner in one of many Dictators revivals with my punk band, and they were always great. But as a second act, he was much more successful. He was the main songwriter, the main vocalist, the driving force of the Delords. And, you know, the Delords, I would argue, is one of those bands in the early 80s, formed in 1982, that really launched the kind of alt-country root rocks revival that led to a vibrant scene, you know, in the 90s and gave us, you know, Wilco, you name it, right? You know, they had a lot of the rawest kind of country in them, a lot of the, you know, sawdust on the barroom floor, shot in a beer, kind of roots rock, you know, gusto. There's a great line by John Perellis writing about the Delords in 84. Twang and thump like country rockers without ever turning their back on their hometown of New York City. I was a fan of the Delords. Got to see them many times in my New York days. Three solo albums on top of the work with the Delords. I think Kempner was an underrated talent who deserved the nickname the Dictators gave him. Everybody in the Dictators had a nickname, right? He was top 10.
Yeah.
So Scott Kempner, dead at the age of 69 from complications of dementia. I'm going to remember him with Burning in the Flame of Love from the 1984 Delords album Frontier Days.
I've been in love before, in and out of love before. My heart has been tossed around all over this time. I was doing real good at night, falling in love, went into my life for you. But I should have known not to get so close, cause now I'm burning in the flame of love.
Frontier Days was the album Burning in the Flame of Love by the Delords in tribute to Scott Kempner.
Great stuff. Another underrated giant, Dwight Twilley, died October 18th at age 72, the pride of Tulsa, Oklahoma. Early Beatles pop melodies with that rockabilly reverb, brisk tempos, guitar-based hooks upon hooks. You have the a progenitor of what became known as power pop. Dwight Twilley was the man, you know, alongside Big Star, the Raspberry Shoes, you know, Twilley and the Dwight Twilley band were right there with them all. Precursor of New Wave, too. That sounded really great in that New Wave era.
It
that
sure
music
did.
Really held up. Really succinct pop tunes done, you know, lots of melody, driving guitars. That first single, released in 1975, I'm on Fire. You know, I'd put that in the top 10 of any 70s song. You know, it's like one of those songs that you put it on now and it still sounds great. You go, who is that?
No, it's timeless. It transcends its era. We are always bemoaning how little respect the genre of power pop gets.
Absolutely. And but he was more than a one-hit wonder. He scored another hit in the early 80s with Girls. And continued to release albums across five decades, first with his musical partner Phil Seymour and the Dwight Twilley Band, and then as a solo act. But that song from the 70s, undeniable. I'm going to play it one more time because it does stand the test of time. Dwight Twilley with I'm on Fire on Sound Opinions. That's a little bit of Dwight Twilley, I'm on Fire. Dwight leaves us on October 18th at the age of 72, but several great songs, that one being the greatest of them all.
When we come back, I'll share some of my favorites from the top 10 commercial smash songs, things we never covered this year, and our production staff will weigh in too on Sound Opinions.
Sound Opinions is supported by Goose Island. Since 1988, Goose Island's been brewing beers in the spirit of Chicago.
You can find IPAs, lemonade, shandy, and limited releases in-store or at one of Goose's venues in Chicago. Goose Island Beer Company, Chicago's beer. Sound Opinions is supported by Goose Island. Since 1988, Goose Island has been brewing award-winning beers in Chicago that are inspired by this city. Take 312 Lemonade Shandy, Tropical Beer Hug Double IPA, and a rotating series of hazy IPAs only available in Chicago. Every time we go down to Goose Island, there's another one that they're pushing on us.
That's right.
All good.
Absolutely. And what supporters of musical culture, in the city of Chicago and elsewhere, if you go to a show in Chicago and you see that Goose Island sign, you know you're in good hands. They're music fans as well as great beer makers at Goose Island. So we're really proud to be associated with them.
The Goose Island Beer Company, Chicago's beer. And we are back. The aforementioned Mr. Cott is the master of the mixtape. I have long ago ceded to him the idea of building an annual mixtape because he's so good at it, and I have a much shorter attention span. However, to round out my contribution to the show, I'm going to play some huge hit singles that we never talked about on Sound Opinions. Greg... mostly I listen to public radio or the records we are prepping to review each week. But I try once, twice a week to just hit the buttons on the car radio to the, I believe we now have four. My presets are 1 and 2 public radio.
Right.
3 through 6, the pop stations in Chicago. And, there was this controversy in the 90s, and it's long in the rearview mirror, rockists versus popists.
Yeah.
And it criticized critics like you and me for not paying enough attention to the top 10 at any given moment, right? And I think, there's a lot of dross on the pop charts, usually, and then there are these gems. It's kind of like breakfast, right? You should have oatmeal every day. It's good for you, but once in a while, a bowl of Frosted Flakes.
I mean, you and I were both daily critics for decades, right? And you had to pay attention to the charts, so it's kind of a bogus complaint.
It always was.
You don't necessarily have to like all of it, but you certainly addressed it, and I took it seriously, and I know you did as well. So I'm really glad that you're going to be highlighting some of these artists.
Well, it's always fun every year because they're not necessarily people that we've gotten to talk about. I actually have four women, and it didn't strike me until I was winnowing down my list of favorite singles that all of these have a theme. And the theme is railing and ranting against toxic masculinity. Timely in 2023, timely for the entire history of humanity, unfortunately. But these were delicious pop confections that did this. And I'm going to lead off with Olivia Rodrigo. Now, we were fans of her big breakthrough debut, the hit Driver's License a couple of years ago. She put out another album in mid-2023. And the lead single was a pop rock tune with a whole lot of goth and a little bit of progressive rock in it called Vampire. You know, driven by piano, building with these electric guitars, synths, massive programmed drums, right? And it is indeed a bit of gothic vampire fun, right? You know, the cover of the single showed Olivia with, you know, two bite marks, band-aids over bite marks on her neck. She's talking about Bloodsucker, Fame Blanker, Bleeding Me Dry Like a Blank Vampire. So it's railing against the fame machine, which has done, you know, pretty well by her, but also a man who would suck the life out of her. So here's the former Disney television star with a really nice pop confection. I'm going to jump past the moody, slow gothic intro to where it really starts to build and build and build, all in a couple of minutes, all perfect for the pop charts, and it was a huge hit that we never got around to talking about.
Cause I've made some real big mistakes, but you make the worst one look fine. I should have known it was strange. You only come out at night. I used to think I was smart, but you made bleeding me dry like a damn vampire.
Olivia Rodrigo, Vampire. Gotta love a good vampire song.
Oh, I do. And I actually do like that moody intro. I like the way it sort of, and then it kicks in. But it's a cool song. And she, you know, she got a lot of props this year. Everybody said, is she a one-hit wonder? Well, she proved that she certainly wasn't.
It was more than just Driver's License. Let's turn to producer Alex Claiborne for one of her pop favorites in 2023. What do you got, Alex?
Popular music is like breakfast cereals. I would say my song is like Cinnamon Toast Crunch. There's not much nutritional value, but damn if it isn't delicious.
There's more than Frosted Flakes.
It's, yeah, there's some good stuff in there. So the song I wanted to talk about is Dance the Night by Dua Lipa, and it's from the Barbie movie, which turns out to be the biggest movie of the year.
Of the century.
Yes, and I personally really enjoyed it, and this song is kind of a good encapsulation of the beginning of the film because it's shiny. It's a disco-inspired number. You've got Mark Ronson and Andrew Wyatt and the Picard brothers, who are French DJs, just making this slick, polished, fun song. And I just found this song to be that perfect encapsulation of it's shiny and bright, but there is a little bit of an undertone of like, maybe something is amiss. Maybe something is about to go wrong.
Maybe the plastic will melt.
Yes, we don't know, but I just found it to be, like I said, like Cinnamon Toast Crunch. It's like, is it going to fill you up for a long time? No, but like, damn, if it isn't just tasty and fun.
All right, Dua Lipa, Dance the Night.
Lately, I've been moving close to the edge. My best. I stay on the beat, you can count on me. I ain't missing no steps. Cause every romance shakes and it bends. Don't give a damn. When the night's here, I don't do tears, baby, no chance. I could dance, I could dance, I could dance. Watch me.
Alex's pick, Dance the Night. We've been Dua Lipa fans.
Yeah, right. She's great. And, you know, the Barbie movie, Alex, I'm a fan, too. My youngest daughter and I just had a conversation about it again yesterday. We saw it 6 months ago together, and I said, you know, I've been thinking about that movie. Goes, I have too. And she went to see it twice. There's more. It's one of those movies that has this sort of surfacey silliness to it, but then you start thinking more about some of the content of it, and it's there's more to it than it immediately meets the ear and the
too.
Eye.
And it was better than Oppenheimer. I will tell you that.
Yeah, Oppenheimer was good too, but I'm a Barbie girl, so.
Well, it's time for my second pop pick of the year, SZA, featuring Doja Cat. I'm going to go with the Kill Bill remix. Now, Kill Bill was a signature song from SZA's huge 2022 album, SOS, but you know how these pop rollouts work, right?
Right, right.
You know, when you've got a big album, they just keep releasing singles, and SZA freshened it up by turning to Doja Cat for this remix, a really cool R&B song, mid-tempo, detuned melody, right? I love that there's a flute on there sampled from a Prophet 6 synth. Mm. So a little bit of that analog synth thing I love. Of course, it's referencing the Tarantino films. And Bill was not a good man to the narrator of this song. As SZA has said, this is my villain era, and she is railing against that and taking her revenge. I like that. I like that she's putting the boy in his place, that she is a powerful woman. It's a song of female empowerment. As I said, it just turns out all of these singles were ranting and raving against toxic masculinity. Her first number one on the Billboard Global chart, and a number one in the U.S. too, when it was the fifth single in January, way back in January. So SZA featuring Doja Cat, the Kill Bill remix.
I did for this, cause she was seeing bread, and all I saw was you. It happened in the flash, when she charged at me, y'all crisscross, saw her fall to the floor, then you paused, and in horror, that shot wasn't for her. Was it? I might kill my ex, not the best idea.
SZA with Doja Cat, Kill Bill remix. You know, when an album connects, Greg, it can have a 2-year, 3-year lifespan.
Well, that one came out so late in 2022. I'm glad you gave it some love here because it's a great record. And if you want a hit, get Doja Cat.
Yeah.
Between these two artists, they have been dominating the charts the last couple of years, and with good reason.
Oh, Doja Cat had a great year as well. We are going to turn to associate producer Sol Delgadillo for her pop pick. Sol, what have you got?
Hi, friends. Apologies for the background noise. But I picked Left Right by XG, and I feel like this song kind of dominated a good chunk of my listening this year. And I feel like I barely talk about girl groups on here, so I feel like I need to express a little bit about them, just because I loved all the stuff that they put out this year. But XG is a Japanese girl group that is based in Korea, sings in English.
I was wondering if there was going to be a K-pop connection. Okay.
I originally found them through a video that they put out called XG Tape Number 2 Girls Cypher. And it's where like the rap line of the group did 4 interpolations of songs from JID, J. Cole, Ty Dolla $ign, and Rosalia. And the one that stuck out to me in that one was the very first one that the youngest did of the group, which her name is Kokona, so the name of the song is Kokona. And it was her take on Surround Sound by JID. And they rap in all 3 languages. And that video alone currently has like 28 million views. So
wow.
Needless to say, when Left Right came out, I was very excited. And I think at the time they only had like 3 other songs out. So it was really cool. And Left Right is my song of the year. And it just reminds me of like late 90s, early 2000s R&B, like, you know, Sierra, Destiny's Child, TLC. And the track is all in English, as like most of their actual songs are. And I just think they're so cool, and I can't believe that they don't have, like, much more attention than they already do. So, yeah.
All right, let's dive in.
Boy, just follow my flow, don't matter where we go. The only direction I know. Once your body's rubbing left, right, left, right. I
Sol Delgadillo's pick, XG, left, right. Sol's always surprising us, Greg.
Well, you know, good stuff for sure. The seven-member group, you know, with the multiple ethnic backgrounds is pretty cool.
That's a traveling Lilith fair
exactly.
For the pop era.
No kidding.
I'm going to another favorite of mine, Greg, Pink Pantheress. And this is a remix as well with Ice Spice joining her for Boy's a Liar Part 2. Mm. It really was a fantastic single. The remix, it introduced Pink Pantheress to the pop charts in the U.S., made it all the way up to number 3. It is 2 minutes and 11 seconds of dance pop, bubblegum, synth pop, hyper pop. I had to look up what hyper pop is. All right, you know, so, all right, pop. You get the idea. The idea here is we have a woman who is angry that her male companion is distracted by that male gaze. What we have is in 2 minute an 11-second pop song format, that meme come to life. You know, the guy's walking with his girlfriend.
Right,
the girlfriend's
right.
Horrified looking at him because he's staring at another woman.
Mm-hmm.
And is this, you know, heavy lifting? No. But once again, we have a delicious pop confection railing against guys being jerks, my recurring theme. Pink Pantheress with Ice Spice, who is also wonderful. Boy's a Liar, Part 2.
Calling his phone like he'll send me a pen. Look at my skills cause he know what I'm on. But when he hit me, I'm not gonna respond. But I don't sleep enough without you. And I can't eat enough without you. If you don't speak, does that mean we're through? Don't like sneaky shit that you do.
Pink Pantheress featuring Ice Spice, Boy's a Liar, Part 2. The girls are kicking the boys' butts on my list anyway. Let's see what Andrew Gill has. Andrew's got a boy, so that's okay.
This is kind of doesn't fit the theme of pop songs, but I will say it is toxic masculinity, except from the guy's perspective, and the guy is actually taking responsibility years later for their toxicity.
And not just any guy. Jason Isbell, he made my top albums of the year list. He is a man who tries to be a good man.
Yeah. And this was, you know, I don't know if it was more evident on any track on Weather Vanes more than White Beretta, which, you know, it's probably a fictional story, but it's about a guy who grows up evangelical and gets a girl pregnant and then drives her to get an abortion. And was kind of, you know, not really there for her, and is thinking back on it years later and trying to take responsibility.
Yeah.
You know, that's basically the gist of the song. You know, it resonated for me this year because I've been working on this side project about Christians
was gonna mention
and
that.
The effects. And I was just listening to the song. I'm like, well, Jason did this in 3 minutes.
Yeah.
The whole thing I'm trying to do.
He did.
He's got it in this pop song. So it's the same mission behind it, what I'm doing and what he's doing. So White Beretta really hit me hard this year. And I wanted to talk about it on the Best Albums episode, but
yeah,
you got
I
it,
did.
Jim.
I love Weather Vanes. I really do. But I'm glad we got to revisit it, Andrew.
Sorry you had to go in that room alone. It was so many years ago. Oh, and I just didn't know. That ain't no excuse.
White Beretta. We can't get too much Jason Isbell on this show ever, Greg. Let's turn to our Columbia College intern, a fine production student as well, Max Hatlam. Max, I can't picture you picking a K-pop song, so what have you got for us, my friend?
Yeah, a little different. This is Fingers of Steel by the band Shame. For people that don't know, this is a British post-punk band. I just discovered them this year with this record, and I really love the full album, but nothing quite hits the highs of this opener for me, which is why I thought it was a good pick for my single of the year. It might be my most listened to song of the year. I don't know. It's hard to keep track. Spotify just tells me like, oh, no, it's the music you're listening to while you're studying. But yeah, I don't think that really counts, you know.
The streaming service whose name we generally try to not mention, but that's... No. But Greg and I have had this debate, Max, about shame portraying these sometimes toxic masculinity being the theme of my pop picks. You know, they can come off as jerks. I say that they are lampooning that jerkish behavior.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that. I think this song kind of fits with that. It's not gender specific, but it's about a friend that you're trying to help and just get to a point where you realize there's nothing you can do for this person. They're in a place that they have to get out of on their own. I mean, I guess, I don't know. I know plenty of guys that have been in that situation. I don't know if it's a gender specific thing, but I think it's an interesting topic for a song. It's not really like specific to this year for me. There's not like a I'm not really picking it for thematic resonance as much as it's just a good song. Like it's a great song. It's deceptively complex, kind of masquerading as like a simple upbeat sing-along song, but it's got great riffs. It's got some like 5/8 time signature in it, which you really wouldn't expect even from like an experimental post-punk band. Musically, it's just right up my alley.
All right, Fingers of Steel by Shame.
While this time you feel that you've been found, but when you look there's no one around.
Max's pick, a fine one. Shame, Fingers of Steel. Greg, I'm going to wrap up the pop segment of the show with Miley Cyrus's huge hit, Flowers, from her 8th studio album, Endless Summer Vacation. Speaking of the streaming platform, who we shall not name, within the first 24 hours, almost 8 million plays for this song.
Yeah.
Wow.
Miley, you know, now Miley has been, since Hannah Montana, became Miley Cyrus, or Miley dropped her alter ego, has been like kind of all over the map with what she's done. There's been the Wrecking Ball, which I think was sort of pandering sexism in that single. And, you know, then she made an album with the Flaming Lips, right? Which neither of us liked. But always interesting, always worth an ear. And I think Flowers is probably the best thing she has given us so far. It is just a wonderful piece of pop. I do love those raspy vocals. We got a disco anthem. She was apparently setting out to try to write something as powerful as Gloria Gaynor's I Will Survive. I'm not sure if it's going to have that staying power, but it's a darn good song. And the theme, again, is in the face of toxic masculinity, I don't need that in my life. I can take myself dancing, Miley says. I can hold my own hand. And of course, I can buy myself flowers. Miley, good for you. Always interested. You know, young, still. And at what, 31, you said?
31 years old, which I couldn't believe. Like, she seems like she's been around forever.
With us, yeah, for decades.
And she has been at least half her life making music, right? Pretty incredible. And,
always reinventing herself.
Right. If you'd said 15 years ago, she's going to be around now, you probably would have said, well, maybe not, you know, but here she is.
Flowers by Miley Cyrus.
I can buy myself flowers.
Can love me better.
Miley Cyrus's Flowers wraps up our look at the pop charts.
Some great picks from our staff and from Jim. And when we come back, you're going to get a taste of what I liked about this year with my annual mixtape magnum opus that's coming up on Sound Opinions.
Remember in 2018 when Border Patrol separated thousands of refugee kids from their parents, deported those parents back to their home countries, and kept the kids in the United States? Believe it or not, 6 years later, there are still hundreds of families who have not yet been reunited.
Though we as a community may feel hopeless at times, we recently learned about an organization called Al Otro Lado, which works to reunify families. They provide holistic legal and humanitarian support to refugees, deportees, and other migrants in the U.S. and Tijuana through a multidisciplinary, client-centered, harm-reduction-based practice.
Since 2018, they've reunited over 100 refugee families ripped apart by the zero-tolerance policy of the previous administration. Once reunited, Al Otro Lado helps each family find legal representation, housing, and the counseling they need in order to heal and get back on their feet.
Imagine having your child ripped from your arms and never knowing when you would see them again. We can't let family separations go on. If you're like us and believe that all families belong together, then join us supporting Al Otro Lado and donate today.
You can find the link to donate to Al Otro Lado in the description of this episode, or go to gum.fm/charity and donate today. That's gum.fm/charity.
You can also consider volunteering with the organization, which offers opportunities that are both in-person and virtual. The best way to get involved is by filling out an application on their website, elotrolado.org/volunteer.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
And we are back. Greg, how many people do you share these annual mixtapes with?
Whoever wants them can have them. You know, it started out as kind of a labor of love before I was even the music critic at the Trib, and then I just kept going, and I haven't stopped. I think it's a nice way for me to think about the year. I always sort of keep a running list of stuff that I like every year. And now with streaming services, you can actually, you know, keep a running work tape, so to speak, of the stuff that you liked.
And you can share it with people.
Correct. And so I had close to 300 songs that I was really,
wow.
I had on that list, and I go, man, I'm going to winnow this down to like 40, right? So that's what this mixtape is.
And then talk about, what, half a dozen on the show.
Correct. And then, you know, to me, and we've had this discussion before, I really view pop music as the most immediate reflection of where we are as a society. You know, they give us immediate feedback about, the pop songs give us immediate feedback about what's going on. I think we've just come out of a period where people are going to know exactly where they were when this event happened. And, you know, it's like the JFK shooting or 9/11. COVID is in that same category. People are coming out of that period now, and they're reevaluating, they're reconsidering, they're reinventing themselves, I think, in a lot of ways. You know, I just heard this the other day. How do I move on from this lingering trauma of COVID, right? It's still here. A lot of these songs are reflecting that idea of taking what's next. So in this first group of songs, I wanted to reflect on that a little bit. And all these songs are about moving forward, or how do we move forward? You know, the group Rat Boys with Cross That Line, the RBG, this band from Melbourne, with a song called Midnight Sun, about what's, you know, I think a meditation in part about, you know, the climate change, you know, thing that's just completely possessing people who are right-minded about the world and
people
its
who are
fate,
paying attention,
right?
Yeah.
One of your favorites, The Rain Parade. Mm-hmm. I loved it. They came back with Last Rays of a Dying Sun, and it's a beautiful song. It's a little cryptic, but it's sort of tied in a little bit with what RVG was singing about. And then I wanted to, this kind of cool cover of the Beta Band's Dry the Rain by a songwriter named Sarah Noel that just kind of landed perfectly at a time when I said, what do I need to sort of complete this little group of songs? And it just seemed to like be the song that would tie up all those loose ends. So here's four songs for my upcoming mixtape. That was a little bit of Sarah Noel's cover of Beta Band's Dry the Rain. You guys all remember it from High Fidelity, right?
You have now sold five copies of Sarah Noel covering the Beta Band.
The great scene in High Fidelity. This next mixtape grouping from my 2023 mix, which, by the way, is called Round the Bend. It's named after the Tubbs song, Round the Bend. I always thought about, okay, we're moving on. We're moving forward. Where are we going? That's kind of the general theme of this of the mix that I created. And here we have a group you and I have loved forever, Ladytron, starting off with City of Angels. Here are these this UK duo, Helen Marnie and Mira Arroyo, singing about Los Angeles, the city of angels. You know, like We couldn't go to Los Angeles for several years. Here we are again, rediscovering this place.
Well, we couldn't. People in Los Angeles were there.
Correct. So, were there. But, you know, if you're in the UK, as Ladytron was,
they
couldn't go. And it speaks to the bands, too, being able to go out on the road again, you know, just even touring. Rick Wilson, one of the great artists out of Chicago. And I love this song because it sort of speaks to what Ladytron was talking about. Everyone Moves to L.A. is the single that he released earlier this year. And Rick is talking about the whole idea. Well, his significant other says, you know, everybody's moving to L.A., you know, I got to do it. He goes, no, I'm not doing that. Mm. You know, I'm going to make it here. I'm going to make it happen right here in Chicago. Butcher Brown, this great jazz funk quintet. out of Richmond, Virginia, with a track called Solar Music, a great rap on it with Jay Prince, an East London rapper. And again, this whole idea of movement, Move Ride is the name of the track. Getting this idea of we're now seeing the world again with new eyes, and closing up the set with Avalon Emerson, Sandrail Silhouette. This DJ who's based in Berlin now, doing these epic sets at a club in Berlin. But I love the way this track moves. The music reflecting kind of a long drive on the Trans-Europe Express, you know? The scenery shifting as you go through the countryside. You're looking out the window, and the music is sort of reflecting that scenic change. So here is a set of songs about movement, which comes near the end of my mixtape.
She got more stress. It's hard making friends when you barely get rest. Her Instagram together, but she really a wreck. How you go from chasing the dream to chasing the check?
We fell in love in the
cause lately we've been dealing with the realest emotions, yeah. Struggle been real, the bubble revealed, yeah. We could have prevailed, could never be still, yeah. I wrote you a letter, you checking your mail, yeah. They loving the kids, they loving their tail, yeah. Keep it alive, they want us to kill, yeah. Since they're younger, they just want me to fail, yeah. A story of a young man trying to keep love alive in the midst of the madness. Now we have it. Let's get down, I don't wanna waste your time. Woke up in the morning, felt the blessings high. Gonna make a move, gotta ride, gotta find. Cause tomorrow isn't promised, though.
Oh, we don't have to talk at all.
That's a little bit of the amazing Sandrail Silhouette, one of my favorite tracks of the year from Avalon Emerson. And that wraps up what I thought about the year in popular music. I've got, we've posted this on Spotify. There's a link to it on our website, Jim.
Yeah, soundopinions.org. You can enjoy the fruits of Greg's many hours of mixtape labor. You can also leave us a voice message on our website, soundopinions.org, with your pick for single of the year and why. Mr. Cott, what is on the show next week?
Next week, Jim, a fascinating discussion about how Blood on the Tracks was made. Everybody thinks, well, it was made in New York, and, you know, Dylan was kind of unhappy with it. But what maybe a lot of people don't know is that he went to back to his home stomping grounds in Minnesota and recruited a bunch of local musicians and did half the album there. And we're going to talk to a couple of the principals who helped make that record.
A classic album dissection, Blood on the Tracks by Bob Dylan. And don't forget to check out our bonus podcast wherever you get your podcasts. The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed in this program belong solely to Sound Opinions and not necessarily to Columbia College Chicago or our sponsors.
Thanks, as always, to our Patreon supporters. Sound Opinions is produced by Andrew Gill, Alex Claiborne, and our associate producer, Sol Delgadillo. Our Columbia College intern is Max Hatlam, and our social media consultant is Katie Cott.
I helped her out of a jam, I guess, but I used a little too much force. We drove that car as far as we could, abandoned it. At night, but agreeing it was best. And she turned around to look at me as I was walking away. I heard her say, oh,